Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Sadnam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanya Wase Yake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Welcome to our first class for this week. A somewhat dreary afternoon here in Issaquah, Washington, overcast and raining, wind gusting fairly high, and we've had some power outages in the area. So if this class is interrupted, you'll know why, due to the windstorms and rain that we're experiencing at the current time. But we will continue on. And and all will be for good. And now before I begin today's teaching, I will do as I do every class, before every class, and that is I will recite the Kaddish for the dead and for the mourners of the dead. So please close your eyes and bow your heads. And as you listen, remember someone to whom you were close has died, and in doing so you'll honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yiskadal v'yishkadash me'rabo, bolmo divero kirase, v'yamlik melkase, b'kayakon u'v'yemakon, u'v'kayadekol b'is Yisrael, b'agolo u'v'yizman korev, ve'imru amen. Yehesh me'rabo mevorak, le'olam u'le'ol me'omayo, Yisparak v'yistabak v'yisparar v'yisramam v'yisnase v'yishadar v'yisale v'yishalel. Shmedikutsho beraku le'olo minkol berkaso v'sharoso. Tush b'koso v'nekamoso da'amiron be'omo v'imru amen. Yehe shlomo rabo min shamayo. V'kayim olenu v'alkol Yisrael v'imru amen. Ose shalom bimramov. Hu yashe shalom, oleinu ve'alkol Yisrael ve'imru, amen. Thank you very much. It is important to remember our ancestors, those who have walked this path before us, for the path that we walk is our own unique path, but it is the same path that our ancestors have walked before us. For all paths earnestly followed lead to God. The only difference being the things we see on the way and the people we pass. Baruch Hashem. Now, onward with today's teaching. In our last two classes, I have been laying out a definition of Kabbalah and talking about its origins, and showing you hopefully, well, in terms of definitions, I spoke about how Kabbalah is one of the forms of Jewish mysticism, with Jewish mysticism being an evolutionary stream that goes back all the way to Adam and Eve. And so there we have a way of setting it into some kind of definitional terms, as well as terms of its extreme age, and then I began to talk in our last meeting about what the components or stages in Jewish mysticism, in that evolutionary stream of Jewish mysticism, are, and I talked first about the Essenes. And we picked this up at the time of around the turn of the of the ancient age into the modern era, going from the time of BC or before Common Era to AD or Common Era time. So around 0 to around 100 Common Era or AD. And there was at that time a number of movements in Judaism, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and those are the ones that are spoken of so with such frequency in the New Testament books. But there were also the Essenes, which, as I mentioned, may indeed have been the sect that archived what came to be known, the Dead Sea Scrolls, that were discovered in the 1940s in the desert of Israel at Qumran. And this was based upon the manuscripts that have been found and translated in those Dead Sea Scrolls. They found pieces of mystical texts, among them a book called the Book of Enoch. This was a book that was attributed to an ancient holy man, who ancient in terms even of the Bible, of the Old Testament, who tradition teaches us was such a righteous man that God raptured him. I'll use that New Testament word, but transformed him from a living human being on this world by raising him up spiritually out of his body, out of the bonds that hold his soul to his body, and brought him in his spirit to the upper worlds, the upper spiritual worlds, and there made him, transformed him into an angel named Metatron. And this angel Metatron is the angel who gave to the Jewish mystics later on the teachings of Kabbalah. So we talked about that. And then we talked about how this phase of Jewish mysticism faded, and between the years of 100 and about 400 or 500 Common Era, Jewish rabbinic Gnosticism came to the fore. So the form and content of I'll call it Essene mysticism, changed and became what the scholars, or at least one scholar, a great scholar, a Gershom Scholem, called Jewish rabbinic Gnosticism. And it included a number of different schools. But we focused on one that is perhaps the most well-known and had the greatest impact on Jewish mysticism, and that is Merkaba mysticism. And as we were discussing last time, Merkaba mysticism, the word Merkaba means chariot. So it literally means chariot mysticism, and it's based on Ezekiel's vision in chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel, in which he had a vision of the Godhead. And in our last meeting, I began to read through that first chapter and make comments regarding the mystical teachings that are beneath the surface of the words that are in the written scripture. And as you remember, just to summarize really briefly, from the north he saw a stormy wind and a great cloud that had fire within it and shooting out of it. And as it came toward him, he noticed then that there were four creatures, four living or creatures. The word for that is Chayot. C-H-A-Y-O-T, Chayot. And these were, as I discussed before, four angels. Each one of them had four faces and four wings. The four faces were one on each side of their head, like in the facing in the cardinal direction. So all four of the cardinal directions had a face turned toward it, and they were all a different face. There was an ox, a lion, an eagle, and a man's face. So those were the four faces. Three were beasts or animals, and one was human. They had four wings. Two of each of these coyote wings, each of the coyote wings, covered their bodies, reached up and down, covering their bodies. The other two stuck out horizontally from their bodies in 90-degree directions. So that if you can imagine each of these four angels, or coyote, they would form the corners of a box. And the sides and ends of the box would be comprised of rails on the box would be their wings, half of their wings, the other half being just covering their bodies. Their feet were described as sticking straight down and being covered as like brass. Okay. And Ezekiel tells us that these living creatures had the likeness, had an appearance, like burning coals of fire, or like the appearance of torches. And he says that it was as if lightning in the form of lightning, flashed up and down the bodies of these living creatures. And he describes it as the living creatures ran and returned, like the appearance of a flash of lightning. And then I discussed this verse in some detail about how this terminology is so similar to that of found in the Sefer Yetzirah in chapter 1, verse 6. Remember Sefer Yetzirah being the book whose authorship is ascribed to our father Avraham, who no doubt learned it, the information in there, the esoteric mysteries and secrets. Sod and Razon, Mysteries and Secrets, in that book, Sefer Yetzirah, having come from what Avraham learned from Melchizedek, which is a biblical nickname for Shem, the blessed, one of the three sons of Noah, the one who he said is blessed, and who opened what may be the first, in history, the first esoteric school of mysticism. All right. And in that Sefer Yetzirah, in chapter 1, verse 6, it says, 10 Sephirot of nothingness. Their vision is like the appearance of lightning. Their limit has no end. And his word in them is running and returning. They rush to his saying like a whirlwind, and before his throne they prostrate themselves. Okay, this is a description of the 10 Sephirot of the Etzkayim, the tree of life. Each one of these Sephirot is both a manifestation of God coming into the world. Each one of them is a specialization of one of God's attributes. Each one of them is also a name, one of the 10 holy names of God. and they're connected by the 22 paths formed by the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which is a divine tongue, the tongue given to man by God, the original language, the original alphabet. So here the 10 sephirot of nothingness are described as, our seeing them is like the appearance of lightning. That is, it's in a flash. But it doesn't last. We can only see them for a few moments. For a few seconds, perhaps. And then it's gone. Okay? It says their limit has no end. Well, they have a limit. But that limit is infinite. And that in itself is a paradox, isn't it? But this is, we're describing here the 10 sephirot of nothingness. That's the 10 sephirot blima is the word that is in Hebrew, of nothingness. The 10 sephirot of blima, nothingness. And it says that their limit has no end, because they are God. These are manifestations of God. So there's 10 of them. That means that each one of them has a limit. Or there couldn't be another one. Anything that you can describe, anything that you can describe has a limit. You can describe the 10 sephirot, each one of them. You can draw them in a diagram, which we have done. The 10 holy sephirot, the diagram of the holy tree of life, that's Chaim. You draw a circle, and there's one of them. You have inscribed that manifestation of God that has, for instance, if you're talking of Chokmah, then that manifestation of God that represents his attribute of wisdom. It's unique in that it's a specialization of that characteristic of wisdom. It's different from any of the other 10 sephirot. And yet contained within it is all the other sephirot. And it is unlimited. Even though we draw it, it is unlimited. So the drawing that we look at is not a true representation at all. It's a tool, a symbol that we can use to let our limited human intellects have at least some comprehension of what truly is the incomprehensible, which is God. So it says, their vision is like the appearance of lightning. Just when we start to think we're grasping their appearance or their nature, it slips out of our fingers. Their limit has no end. The paradox that is God. He has chosen to limit himself by coming into this world. Before he came into this world, he was infinite. But that part of him that he allows to come into this world is a limit. Is a limitation. It's a lesser part of Ein Sof, of the transcendent, infinite God. And yet every aspect of his 10 aspects, while it has a limit, that limit has no end. And it says here, and his word in them is running and returning. Well, what is the word in the diagram of the 10 sephirot, in the Etz Chaim, the tree of life? The word is two things. One is the sephirot themselves. Each of the sephirot is both a revelation that is a revelation of God's manifestation in Chokmah, which in wisdom. We're just looking at this one right now as an example. You could say this of each of all of the other ones. So he reveals his attribute of wisdom. He reveals his name, which we say Chokmah. That just means wisdom. That's a descriptive term that tells us what that attribute is. It's the attribute of divine wisdom. But the name that God reveals to us with respect to that second sephirot called Chokmah, the name of God that he reveals is Yah. Yah, Y-A-H. The name associated with Binah, the next one, is Yahweh Elohim. Okay. It's Yahweh, but it's pronounced as Elohim, so we say Yahweh Elohim. Now, so there's the revelatory aspect of this. So when God comes into the world, it's a revelation, but it's also a language. Because each one of these sefirot has information which it transmits to every other sefirot to which it's connected by the paths and channels that are labeled by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So Chokhmah is connected to Kether, from which it descended, to Binah, which it emanates out of itself, just as the female Eve came out of Adam. So too, in this case, does the feminine aspect of God, the mother aspect called Binah, which in terms of the feminine we call her Ima, mother, comes from Chokhmah, which is wisdom, and the male aspect, which we name Abba, father and mother. Okay? And it's also connected to Chesed and to Gevurah and to Tiferet. So there are all these pathways, these channels. And what goes back and forth in those channels? What goes back and forth is the flow of holy, divine sustenance, divine energy, divine light. It flows back and forth. In a downward direction, it's positive light going down. And in a return direction going back up, it's a reflection of light, it's reflected light. So you have the downward light that shines, and you have the upward light that does not shine because it's reflected. But this light conveys information, and that information is received by these 10 power centers, if we want to get New Age about it, which I don't, but that's another way to look at this. These are the sources of the powers in the Godhead. They receive, they both give and receive this power, which is filled with information. It's power and information. It's revelation and instruction. And they process it, and it changes them, causing them to send new messages, new bursts of energy and power based on what they receive back. Okay, so this is the 10 sefirot that we're talking about here in Sefer Yetzirah chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and his word in them is running and returning. And that's what I was just talking about. The word. In other words, the word is composed of letters, and the letters are composed of light. And this is what's going back and forth, flashing through these channels between the 10 sefirot, is God's word. Because it's by God's word that things come into existence. God has to have, first of all, a desire, then the will to do, or to make, or to create, or to cause, and then the thought of, this is how I will do it, and these are the details, and then the command, which is the word, in which God said in the first chapter of Genesis, let there be light. And there was light. Okay, so this is the process it's describing here in Sefer Yetzirah, chapter 1, verse 6. And his word in them is running and returning. Or, I could say, is emanating and reflecting. It means coming down to the lower levels and then being reflected back up. Coming down, having the intended effect, and then being reflected back up with the results of those effects. This is a system that we're describing. It's the way that the divine mind works. It's a divine system with inputs, outputs, and processors. No, God's not a computer. The computer is modeled after God. Okay, it says they rush to his saying like a whirlwind, and before his throne they prostrate themselves. That means before his throne they prostrate themselves. God's throne is where? In the Ten Sephir, it's in the level of the world or the universe of Berea. And so this is a reference to the lower realms, the world of the angels. And so this is also talking about the angels. It's the angels who rush to his saying like a whirlwind. And here's that image that's in Ezekiel. Now, so what I was trying to get to here is that the verse, chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel is a description of a vision that Ezekiel had. And the words that he uses to describe that vision are very, very similar to, if not verbatim in places, to chapter 1, verse 6 of Sefer Yetzirah. Of course, which book came first? Well, which man came first? Avraham obviously came a long time before Ezekiel. So therefore, Ezekiel could be understood to have either seen or had possession of Sefer Yetzirah, or just as likely, if not more likely, had never seen it at all, but was describing exactly what he saw as best he could, given the limitations of the human language. And having done so, it turns out to be the same, because the vision that Ezekiel saw was so similar to the vision that Avraham saw and recorded in chapter 1, verse 6 of Sefer Yetzirah. So that what God showed to the two men was so similar that they resulted in similar descriptions. All right. So this is a description of a vision. Merkaba mysticism is a mysticism based upon this description of a vision that Ezekiel recorded. And it's a vision of what? It's a vision of God sitting on a throne. The throne contained in a chariot composed of angels. Three classes of angels. The seraphim, which took the form of the lightning, which coordinates and directs the movements of the chariot. The seraphim runs up and down the lengths of the chayot, the living creatures, the four angels that form the corners and the sides of the chariot. They run up to the figure of the man who's sitting on the throne above, gather the information and instructions that they are given, and take them down and transmit them to the four chayot, living creatures, whose feet are connected to other angels that have the appearance of wheels, the Ophanim. These are the lowest level of angels in this vision. Okay, now continuing on, we'll finish this up here about this vision of Ezekiel's today. And as I beheld the living, this is verse 15. And as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels, these are called Ophanim, the lowest level of the angels in this vision, and their work was like the color of an emerald. And the four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. This is important because, this is my commentary now on this, the ten holy sephirot were not originally emanated in the configuration that appears in the Sephirotic tree. okay, the series of triads arranged, emanated in the order of a lightning, zigzag lightning bolt pattern. That's not how they originally were emanated. They were originally emanated in the form of concentric circles from the outside or larger circle in to ever smaller concentric circles, 10 of them, one for each of the 10 attributes of God or manifestations or revelations of God. Okay, that's how they were originally emanated. And that's what we see here. We see here, it says a wheel in the middle of a wheel. This is representative of how God, who represents the outer wheel, contains everything else. Every other wheel can be considered to be some aspect of creation, contained within the greater unity and reality of God. And the wheel within, in the middle of a wheel, can be seen as man within God, the microcosm of man in the microcosm of God. Okay, it goes on. When they moved from any of their four sides, and they did not turn when they moved. Again, this is referring to the four coyotes, the four angels that serve as the four corners of the chariot. Means that when they move, they don't turn. If the chariot's going to turn to the left, they don't turn. The chariot just goes to the left, and they have a head on that side, a face that sees that side, so they don't need to turn. It says here on these wheels, as for their rims, they were so high that they were dreadful. And the rims round the four were full of eyes. This is significant too. You can almost look at this vision and you can interpret the vision as you would a dream. This is the thing we see in dreams, isn't it? These things being described here are very much what we see in dreams, that we go, oh, wow, that was a weird dream. Saw this wheel. I saw a chariot, and these wheels were so high that I barely could see the tops of them. The rims were so high. But what I saw was on the rim. Around the rim, it was full of eyes, watching eyes. Well, the junction between the divine and the mundane worlds is what the rim is, isn't it? The rim is what travels across the surface of the earth. It's what joins the sky and the earth. And it's closely guarded by eyes, ever watchful eyes. These are the keepers of the gates. These are what separate human beings and the creatures of this world, this level of spirituality, and the beings of the upper worlds, which would be the angels and God, the spiritual beings. Okay. Now, verse 19. And when the living creatures moved, the wheels moved with them. And when the living creatures were raised from the earth, the wheels were raised. Wherever the spirit would go, they moved, for the spirit wanted to go there. And the wheels were raised with them, for the spirit of the living creature, the kaya, was in the wheels. When they moved, these moved. And when they stood still, these stood still. And when they were raised from the earth, the wheels were raised with them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now, it's real important to Ezekiel here. He keeps repeating these things over and over about how the living creatures didn't move or didn't turn. But when they moved, the wheels moved with them. And when the living creatures were raised from the earth, the wheels were raised. So what he's describing here is a unified whole, a unified sense of the four worlds above. What are the four worlds? We've got the world of the wheels. We've got the world of the chayat. We have the world of the throne. And we have the world of God, the king, who sits on the throne. So what's described here is the four worlds above the world of man. Baruch Hashem. Thanks be to God. So we have these four worlds that are described here. And then what's the fifth thing here? The fifth thing is we have the seraphim. This is the lightning that moves up and down. That moves up and down the sides of the coyote. This is the unifying effect. This is the messenger carrier. Is there a mythology that you can think of in which there's a similar such thing? Well, probably plenty of them. I'm going to give you one that comes to my mind. That is in Norse or Germanic mythology of the sky gods, of the Viking gods. Okay, we have a world tree, Yggdrasil, and this is a tree whose boughs are in the heavens, where Asgard is, and then we have Midgard, which is somewhere down on the trunk and on the earth, and then there's Jotungard, which is another world, the world of the giants, and then there's which is off one of the branches to the side, and Midgard's the world of man, and then the roots go down into the ground, and down here is the equivalent of it's the lower world. It's like Gehenna in Judaism. In fact the name for the goddess who presides over the lower world is Hel, H-E-L. That's where the Christians get the name that they assign to Gehenna, to the infernal underworld. They call it H-E-L-L. Well, that's where they get it from. It's from the Norse Germanic goddess who oversaw that place, and whose name was H-E-L, Hel. Okay, so we have this world tree, and we have a Sephirotic tree. And this world tree has four worlds on it. In the Norse mythology, it has four worlds, as I just described. And there are four worlds being described here on this chariot. And there's four worlds in the Ezkayim. There's the upper world of Atzilut, the world of nearness, emanation, the world of Berea, the world of creation. That's the world of the throne in the chariot vision. These are the same things. And I'll relate these to you in just a minute. So first I'll give them to you in terms of the ten sephirot. You've got the four worlds or universes of Atzilut, emanation, Berea, creation, Yetzirah, formation, and Asiya, action. Okay? And then in terms of the ten sephirot, or in terms of the Merkava vision, the chariot vision seen by Ezekiel, we've got the four worlds here. Well, what are they? They correspond to the four worlds of the ten sephirah, the four worlds of the world tree in Norse mythology, and here they are. You've got the world of the king on the throne. That's Keter, Atzilut. Okay, that's Asgard in the Norse mythology. You've got the world of the throne itself, okay? And what is that? That's the world of Berea in Ezkayim. On the world tree, that's the world of Midgard. You've got the world of formation, okay, Yetzirah, and that's the world of on the chariot. That's the world of the Kayat, the living creatures, the four angels with four wings and four heads. And then you've got the wheel of the Ophanim, which is the world of the lowest angels, which is equivalent to the world of Asiya, the world of action. And indeed, this is where the action takes place. This is where it says the wheels moved with them. Okay, so this is the world of action. This is, and then you have this which started me on this, was you have the seraphim, the lightning moving up and down, the Word, the Logos of God, moving up and down, unifying the four worlds, carrying the messages up and down the world tree. And what is that in Norse mythology? That is the squirrel. And I just can't recall exactly the name of the squirrel. There's something like Retetuk. And it's a squirrel that runs up and down the world tree, carrying information from all of the levels of the tree. He's like a gossip, up and down the tree, telling every place where he stops the information that he picked up from the other parts of the tree. Baruch Hashem. So we see here this remarkable, remarkable correspondence between across religions, across mythologies, across cultures. This depiction of the nature of the cosmos and the nature of God and the nature of man and how he fits into it. Between Judaism and Norse mythology, and between this vision, this mystical vision of Ezekiel, and the mystical vision of Abraham, as recorded in the former part, the mystical vision of Ezekiel recorded in the book of Ezekiel, and the mystical vision of Abraham, as recorded in Sefer Yetzirah. So we see these amazing correspondences. And what happens when we run into these correspondences? What happens is that we can begin to realize that where these correspondences exist, across cultures, across time, maybe, just maybe, we are glimpsing something that is something of a universal truth. So what we're seeing here is a universal description of God, the cosmos, and man. Baruch Hashem. Now, I'm going to finish up this we will finish up tomorrow. I'm going to cut this off right here. And we'll finish up tomorrow our discussion of Merkava mysticism and the Hekhalot esoteric literature. The Ma'asa Merkava, the work of the chariot. That is what the mystics, how the mystics studied God and related to God and tried to ascend in their spirits to higher levels of existence. We will discuss that tomorrow. So, this concludes today's teaching. I'm sorry I was a little bit scattered in my teaching today. I sensed that I was, and I'm sorry and apologize for that. I have been very, very tired as I underwent some medical procedures this last Friday and am still trying to recover from them. But I did not want to miss teaching. And it's not given as an excuse, but just by way of explanation. And yet, even as tired as I am, what came out today was still sent to us by the Holy Spirit. The divine inspiration, the Ruach HaKodesh. So all praise, all glory be to God. May he help us in all that we do. And this will be rebroadcast tonight, as always, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And our next class, which I really hope to see you at, and I will be feeling better, no doubt, God willing, will be Wednesday at the same time. In the meantime, don't forget to remember God at least twice today. And until we meet again, may you go from strength to strength. Be well.